corporate earnings rolling in.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Wells Fargo says this morning it posted a $3 billion first quarter profit, as it predicted last week. Morgan Stanley lost half a billion. Boeing's earnings fell 50%. AT&T earnings down almost 10%. But McDonald's profits climbed nearly 4% as cheap meals were in. Turning to Chrysler now, if that company is going to survive, it's got to reduce its debt. It has another week and a half to figure out how to do that. The White House has asked Chrysler's biggest creditors to help. This morning, we're learning those creditors are pushing back. Reporter Ashley Milne-Tite joins us. Ashley, what's going on?
Well, there's a standoff right now between the government and about 45 of Chrysler's creditors, and that includes some of the biggest banks, you know, the ones we keep hearing about, Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs. These creditors hold $6.9 billion of Chrysler's debt. And last week, the Treasury Department asked them to forget about that $6.9 billion and accept around $1 billion instead. This week, the banks came back and said no. They said, we'll accept a cut, but we want $4.5 billion back, not close to $1 billion. It's not enough. And part of their problem, they say, is that they have to think of their own shareholders in all this, and that means getting back as much money as possible from Chrysler.
And how's the government reacting to that?
Well, the Treasury Department's made it clear it's not at all happy with the bank's response. It says it hopes these lenders take a more constructive position over the next few days. And one Michigan politician said he's really disappointed the banks won't agree to the concessions, particularly because they've received billions of dollars, of course, in government bailout money themselves. Mm-hmm. And given that, he thinks they ought to be a little more flexible. So, I mean, there's still some time to sort this out before April 30th, but obviously the clock is ticking pretty loudly.
Ashley Milne-Tite in New York, thank you.
You're welcome.
Asian markets were mostly lower today. Major European markets are off about 1%. Shares of the Swiss drug company Roche are down 9% after a disappointing new study of its colon cancer drug Avastin. Yesterday, the Dow added 127 points to 7,969. Police in Virginia say the acting chief financial officer of Freddie Mac was found dead at his house this morning. David Kellerman's wife reportedly told police it was a suicide. The 41-year-old Kellerman had been with Freddie Mac for 16 years and was appointed to the CFO job last fall. Today, the U.S. House will spend its Earth Day debating a plan to limit greenhouse gases. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Jennifer Collins reports on how much this is going to cost you.
$800 a year. John Riley of MIT calculated that's how much a cut in emissions would tax the average household.
I mean, there will be costs of achieving these targets.
The target is an 80% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions over 40 years. To do that, House lawmakers have proposed a cap-and-trade program. It would limit emissions and then allow corporations and utilities to trade the right to pollute. The cost would then be passed on to households.
As a result of those higher costs of energy, consumers might insulate their houses or other sorts of things.
And that should offset some of the expense over the long run. Stephen Hayward is a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute.
It's very hard to say what this will cost because crucial details are still to be determined.
Hayward thinks the MIT estimate is in the ballpark. Still, the highest price of all could result from doing nothing to try to slow climate change. Some experts say unchecked emissions could cost the world trillions of dollars a year. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. ProduceMoreConserveMore.com. American Public Media presents the Poetry Radio Project. You can hear conversations with poets about the economy, music, cooking, and more at AmericanPublicMedia.org/poetry.
The Canadian toy maker Mega Brands has agreed to pay $1 million civil penalty in connection with a defective toy blamed in the death of a child. LA Times business columnist David Lazarus is here. David, what was the safety problem with this toy called Magnetics?
Magnets were becoming dislodged from the magnetic sets as early as 2004, according to federal regulators. And magnets pose an especial danger to little kids because when the magnet gets into the system, first of all, if there's multiple magnets, they can join together at various parts of the body and start doing damage there. Also, a magnet is known to just simply start shredding apart the intestines. So this is an extremely dangerous thing. And in fact, that's what happened in 2005, shortly before Thanksgiving, when a 22-month-old toddler in suburban Seattle was known to have swallowed a magnetics magnet and shortly thereafter passed away.
Now, this toy was originally made by another company, Rose Art Industries. Mega Brands says when it bought that company, it had no way of knowing the toy was defective.
Let's stop for a moment. What sort of onus is on an acquiring company during a merger of this sort to try to perform the due diligence necessary to find out what it needs to know? It turns out that if Mega Brands had wanted to go to the Consumer Product Safety Commission and say, hey, we're buying Rose Art, we'd love to know more about it, you can't do that. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says a company, even a consumer, cannot call up and run a search of its huge database of safety information. Instead, requests would have to be filed under the Freedom of Information Act, which is a process that can take months. And that's why the Safety Commission says, you know, that's why we don't see a lot of companies doing this during the due diligence process.
This sounds easily fixable, David. What happens next?
I've talked to insiders on the agency, and they say they're hoping that a new chairperson will come in, kick the dust off the tires, shake things up a bit, and if nothing else, seek the legislation necessary to bring this agency into the 21st century and use all the information technology available to make this data available quickly and efficiently.
LA Times business columnist David Lazarus, thanks.
It's always a pleasure.
We'd like to hear your thoughts at marketplace.org. Click on that link that says contact. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.